I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
De nuevo para Porto. ¡Golazo! 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 Tal como venía siendo.
Bueno, bueno,
¡Qué volea! Portugal. Desde el carril del 8, desde la frontal, haciendo una curva tremenda al palo más alejado. Volea tremenda, tremenda. El gol de la liga. El gol que hace historia. El gol de Porto. Porto.
Hello everyone and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. Congratulations, enhorabuena to Real Madrid and all our Madridista listeners. They have won La Liga for the 36th time, record extending in Spanish football history. Real Madrid champions again. I'm your host, Matt Clark. Delighted to be joined once again by Ben Sully. Ben, champions have been crowned. Well, not crowned, but they've won the league and we knew it was going to happen and now it officially has.
Yeah, like you said, it was there was a sense of inevitability. Obviously, after the Clásico, that kind of changed it from being a case of when they were crowned and not if. And obviously, going into this weekend, there was a possibility. Obviously, it was going to be a relatively easy game for Real Madrid. And obviously, Barcelona had Girona. But Real Madrid, first and foremost, did their part. A routine win, even with quite a few changes, obviously with one eye on the Champions League game in midweek. It was a relatively simple victory for them. Good for them to have Courtois back. So they did their part. And if that was kind of a routine win, there was nothing quite routine about Girona and Barcelona's game. That obviously handed them the title, which at one stage it looked Barcelona going to win. And Porto comes on. Absolutely blitzes Barca. I think it was two goals and an assist in a space of about 9-10 minutes. Basically that hands Real Madrid the title, and it's very, very deserved. Obviously, like you said, it was going to happen because they have been head and shoulders above the rest of the pack. They fully deserved. Ancelotti deserves it. It's. There was no one close to him. Obviously, Girona had their moments throughout the season, but if you're only losing one league game out of all of them, and I mean that defeat was September time, you deserve to win the league.
Yeah, an incredibly professional performance from Real Madrid throughout the season. We spoke about this the other day, when you consider the injuries they've had to deal with, it was quite fitting that Courtois was back in goal for the game that effectively did seal the title. It was 3-0 over Cadiz, as you say, lots of changes. Fran García started, Dani Ceballos, Guler, Raheem Diaz all started, Bellingham off the bench. I mean, even he got his goal to just give him a little boost before that second leg against Bayern. But professional job from Real Madrid, Raheem Diaz, Jude Bellingham and Hossolu right at the end, all in the second half, giving them three comfortable points. It does keep Cadiz in real peril, still marooned in that relegation zone. We'll touch on that, of course, later on in the show. But from a Real Madrid perspective, and Carlo Ancelotti, I mean, this is his sixth league title now. We know he's won in all the big five leagues. It's the first league he's won twice. And this one perhaps might be his most impressive because, like you say, the injuries had to deal with, the context of Barcelona having won the league last season. It's just another brick in his coaching wall of fame, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's you can look at the Real Madrid squad and go, it's got good depth. There's some world-class talent. They brought Bellingham in. But, yeah, they lost. Obviously, Benzema left at the end of last season. The defence, to have the best defensive record and be rock solid when, at times, you're having to basically put makeshift. We've had Tchouameni there, Carvajal there. You've had different players at different points of the season that have had to kind of fill in. And yeah, I think that's the thing. Vinicius has obviously been injured at points as well. And I think that's the thing with Ancelotti is managers like Guardiola or say Jurgen Klopp might be renowned for kind of bringing their philosophies into the game and stamping their marks on different clubs. But I think you have to say that for Ancelotti, he just always seems to find a way. He always seems to find solutions in how to solve different problems. And I don't think anything phases him. It always seems to be that any sort of problem, rather than look at excuses, he will try and he will try and just solve the problems. And I think that's one of the best things he's done this season. Then he's created a united squad. Everyone was, if players were asked to play out position, people were prepared to. And that's helped them just dominate the league. You see, obviously, the gap now they have to Girona and Barcelona. They've been above and beyond. And I don't think anyone can begrudge Real Madrid and Ancelotti, especially. He didn't need this win to make it the case, but he's obviously one of the greatest managers of all time. You can't really just be disputed, because the success he's had, not just at Real Madrid but throughout his career, has been phenomenal.
Yes, absolutely. Chapeau to Carletto. It's a really fascinating league, this one, because La Liga has changed hands for 5 seasons in a row, believe it or not, listener. You have to see it to believe it, but it's true. We've had Barcelona won it in 18-19, when they'd won it, of course, the season before. But then Real Madrid won it in the COVID season. Then Atleti. Then Real Madrid again under Carlo. Then Barca last season under Xavi. And now Madrid once again under Carletto. So, yeah, boring old La Liga, eh?
I think it's quite interesting that, because obviously, I suppose people that don't necessarily watch La Liga have this kind of thing of it being obviously dominated and the same teams winning it, where, okay, Mike could say it's out the same 3 and Atleti, Real Madrid and Barca, but yeah, we are having it mixed up, which is good to see. I do wonder that, is that going to be the case going forward? You kind of, you look at Real Madrid and you look at their recruitment and how they've kind of developed. They've done well to bring in younger players while slowly kind of putting out the older players to pastures, where you have, obviously in the last couple of years, they've brought in Tchouameni, Camavinga, Bellingham. And I think that's one of their plus points. And you look at their squad and you think that is one going forward that can continue to win things. If Mbappe comes, that should make them stronger. So it is, it'd be interesting to see whether that trend of the title, hot potato of the title, continues, or if this is like a start of period of Real Madrid dominance, especially when you look at maybe Barcelona with their kind of financial issues and whether they'll be able to strengthen and match them. So I think that's going to be something quite interesting to watch over the next few years in La Liga.
It really will be. Our old friend and colleague Sam Leveridge tweeted very much the same thing on Saturday night, looking at how well set Madrid look and how they could usher in a period of dominance, much like Barca did during the Messi era. And it's interesting now, because I saw in Marca, Vinny now has more La Liga titles than Cristiano Ronaldo. So once again, quite a surprising stat, but then when you think about it, actually, it does make sense. Let's talk about the game that actually decided the title then, because it was in Catalunya, but it was all about who was going to have local pride and who would effectively be finishing second in La Liga. Girona taking on Barca, and they did the double over them. They went behind, but flew back to win. Porto off the bench was phenomenal. He made it 4-2 with a sublime goal. Shades of Marco van Basten, as Tim Lee put it on Premier Sports TV. Again, though, what a game involving Girona. They're just absolutely box office.
Yeah, it's a strange one, because you would say obviously, especially before the season, you'd say a result like this is a surprise, but they did exactly the same scoreline took place in the reverse fixture. It's up until about the 60th minute, Barcelona looked fairly comfortable, but then obviously Porto comes on and he kind of pulls them level, and then you have this just crazy turnaround, and it's trademark Girona, because that's what we've kind of known them to be this year, where they just blitz teams, and in the space of 10-minute periods, 15-minute periods, they score 3 or 4 goals, and by the time the opposition kind of manages to get themselves out of a daze, the game's gone. And that was what they did at the weekend. But to do it to Barcelona, I know, okay, this year Barcelona haven't been great, but to still do it to a team, a club of that size, just to basically take them apart. Okay, again, we can talk about Barcelona being more vulnerable defensively this year than they were last year, and obviously that's kind of played into to where they are in the league. But to the thing with Girona is they just keep going. It's even when they went 4-2 up, they weren't thinking, okay, we're going to sit back. No, it was what they've been doing all season. We're just going to keep going and keep going. It's fearless football. It's exciting football, because they're always looking to try and progress the ball. They're always trying to pass the ball forward. And yeah, if we say Real Madrid are the best team in the Liga, maybe we could say Girona the most exciting, because when they've been on form this year, they've been a joy to watch, especially at home. Their home form has been incredible. I think Real Madrid are the only team to beat them there in the league. So yeah, they've been a standout team. They deserve to have that Champions League qualification. It's a reflection of how good they've been. I know a lot gets made of the City group thing, but they are more than that. It's a team that, for their budget, they shouldn't be where they are. They're really punching above their weight. And yeah, it's just such a fun team to watch. And I think that's been the main thing with Girona this season.
Yeah, this was the headline, because, I mean, we talk about them beating Barcelona, we talk about Real Madrid sealing the title from this game. But for Girona and their fans, they were saying, Champions League, we wish you were here. Well, you are here, because this result confirms their top four finish. And again, you need to keep saying that, because to even expect Girona to be in Europe would have been kind of top end of the predictions for pretty much anyone in the summer. Yeah, they did some good bit of business bringing in these players that had lots of potential, and boy, they fulfilled that potential. But for Girona to be up there second, third, challenging for the league for two-thirds of the season, and qualifying with 4 games still to go, it's an absolutely remarkable achievement. It's only their 4th season in the top flight, full stop, and they've blitzed it. They've beaten Barca twice, they've beaten Atleti, and they have fully deserved, as you say, this Champions League qualification. So it's an exciting time to be a Girona fan.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing if teams do it, setting up in a defensive way, but to do it in the manner they've done it, to play exciting, attacking football, to go up against the big teams and go toe-to-toe with them, and on occasions come out on top, it's remarkable. And I do think you have to say it is a fairy tale, because after, okay, they dropped away a little bit when we thought, could they mount a title challenge? There was a bit of a dip, and maybe there was a kind of, okay, it's a bit sort of, yeah, anticlimactic. They couldn't stick with maybe Real Madrid, but just to get the top four, and like you said, to do it with games to go, it's a remarkable achievement. And it'll be interesting to see what happens over the summer, who stays. The good thing is with them, they look like they're very good at recruitment. So if players go, like a Savinha goes, then okay, they've probably got someone lined up that could maybe come in and fill that void. And yeah, it'd be interesting, because it's another challenge next year to the way they play football. Obviously, it's quite it appears quite energy sapping, because it's very, very full on. That could take its toll when you go into Champions League. But I think that's a problem they'll be very happy to have.
Absolutely, and when you think, I mean, last season they beat Real Madrid 4-2 at Montilivi, and Tati Castellanos scored all 4 goals, didn't he? And we think, yeah, it's going to be difficult for them to replace him. But then Dovbyk comes in and is the top scorer in the division. 20 goals for him this season now. And you have to, again, we talk about the City link, City Football Group, but it is still putting the right people in the right places and just doing a good football operations job.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Obviously there is a bit where you have you have this thing where it's okay, the influence of the City group will have an effect on the scouting and maybe how they can move players in between, say, like we have Tavinho come from Twer, which is obviously part of it. But to still go out and to find these players, it's not like they were fighting off the likes of Real Madrid to get these players. They've gone to kind of pick players that maybe the wider football public haven't necessarily heard of. And obviously Dovbyk has been one of them. He's been a standout performer this season. And even he showed his quality, obviously, at the weekend. You obviously a good header to cancel out Christensen's goal. But then he showed his ability kind of to set up Porto, to be a bit unselfish. And yeah, I think that's these different players that they brought in. It's been exciting to see kind of these maybe unknown prospects kind of turn up and kind of shock the league. And even the experienced ones, people like Daley Blind, who maybe appear to be, their careers appear to be kind of dwindling and coming towards an end. It's kind of been reinvigorated now. And I think that's one of the things. It's kind of brought these young player, experienced players. And yeah, it's just been phenomenal. And it just proves how important recruitment and scouting can be, because it proves you don't actually maybe necessarily have to have the biggest budget in the world, because Girona obviously don't in regards to the rest of La Liga.
Certainly. Credit to them. Credit to Michel, one of the best coaches around this season. I think anyone will agree to that. And of course, to Real Madrid, whose league victory was sealed with this result. Another massive game in the league on Sunday was at Balaidos. Celta still not shaken off relegation fears. They took on a Villarreal side that were flying and aiming for European football themselves. This was an absolutely cracking game. I mean, early doors, Iago Aspas misses a golden chance. Then Alberto Moreno takes the lead, gives Villarreal the lead. Santi Comesaña sent off. Iago Aspas equalises from the spot. Then Celta go ahead. Jorgen Strand Larsen. That's half time. Second half, Gonzalo Guedes equalises for 10-man Villarreal, before a late winner from Duvikas, assisted by Aspas. Again, when it matters most, he is the one that steps up for Celta. And this was a huge win for them, because coupled with Cadiz's defeat, it puts a lot of distance between Celta and the drop zone.
Yeah, I think we spoke about on the midweek pod about Celta's kind of worrying run of fixtures towards the end of the season. And when they go 1-0 down against Villarreal, you kind of think, okay, this looks like it's going to slip away from them. Obviously, the red card has a big impact. It was a bad tackle and rightly a red. And yeah, obviously that has an effect on the game. But even then, Celta score a couple of goals and you think they're kind of heading towards victory, and they're kind of giving a bit of a shock, and Guedes pulls Villarreal back. And then for a team that's battling relegation, they think, okay, we're going to blow a real good chance here of getting three massive points. So to get that winner is just huge. You've taken advantage of Cadiz's defeat to Real Madrid, and you've made that gap a good distance before with what, four games to go. And I think that's the thing now, that even if they've got a tricky run of fixtures, you look and think, okay, Cadiz have probably got to win maybe three or four games, which when you look at how they've done throughout the season appears unlikely. So to get that win, it's massive. And obviously from the opposite side, it has an effect on Villarreal and their European hopes. They're probably a bit ambitious to begin with, because obviously they're always playing catch up as the season's gone on. So they would have been disappointed going into the game, because they would have thought this would be a game where they should get 3 points. But yeah, that red card changes it, and maybe a point would have been a good result in the end. But yeah, it probably leaves them a little bit too far away from that top seven. But yeah, it was a very, very exciting game. It was at least what I liked it for Villarreal's perspective. Although they did obviously go down to 10 men, they still offered an attacking threat, and there wasn't a sense of resignation. And yeah, I suppose they might count themselves a bit unfortunate, but Celta managed to get over the line, and that should be enough to keep them in the division. I'll be surprised if it doesn't.
Yeah, agreed there. I think Celta definitely can breathe a sigh of relief after that. They're coming back to life at last for them. Right, we better take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the other games this weekend, and there were 7 of them. Plenty of drama and action all across the league this weekend. We'll get to that in a short while.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown, our match day 34 recap, where Real Madrid sealed the title and Girona confirmed their place in the Champions League. Plenty else happened as well, as we will get to right now. Barcelona, the only team in the top seven to lose, or to fail to win even, because Friday night, Athletic Club took on Getafe. This was a crazy game in itself, Ben, wasn't it? Because Iñaki scores both goals, both assisted by Nico. Plenty of brotherly love going on there. Two star performances for an SL Valverde side. Unai Simón, though, was the star because Athletic were down to nine men. Even Ernesto Valverde gets sent off, and you know how much it takes for him to get ruffled. Getafe had 33 shots in total. Unai Simón kept them all out, and then he culminated that off by saving a late Mason Greenwood penalty to secure the points for nine men Athletic. And that was their first league win since winning the Copa del Rey.
Yeah, it looked like it was probably going to be a comfortable evening for Athletic when they went two up. And obviously at that point, 11-11. And then even when you get the first player sent off, they still should be enough. But obviously, Aitor Paredes, I think it was like around about the 80th minute, was sent off. And obviously, nine men is a tough ask, even if you have a two-goal advantage. And obviously, when Getafe got that penalty, I think if Greenwood scores that, they might have struggled. Athletic might have struggled to hold on because I think it was a good chunk of added time. And obviously, at that point it was just relentless pressure and the nine men just trying their best to cling on. And obviously, Unai Simón, the heroics made it sure, and that, to be fair, that penalty miss kind of really took the wind out of any momentum that Getafe had kind of building. They after that they didn't offer too much. They kind of ran out of ideas a little bit, and yeah, it's a good win. Obviously, there was a bit of a hangover from the Copa del Rey win. That was probably to be expected. 40 years in the making. Also,
it's a hell of a party.
There's one big hangover, yeah. But also the emotional kind of the emotional roller coaster of the final in itself. So yeah, it's probably always going to be a bit difficult to pick it back up after that. So to kind of grind out a win in those circumstances, maybe, yeah, going to the Coliseum and winning 2-0 in other years might not seem like the most exciting thing, but to do it with going down to nine men, it was very impressive. And it might not mean a lot come the end of the season because they should get fifth, whatever, but obviously at least keeps the pressure on in regards to trying to still remain in the race for top four.
Yeah, the gap there with Atleti is still 6 points because they went to Mallorca and had a relatively routine 1-0 victory. Rodrigo Riquelme with the early goal at Son Mosh to decide the game effectively. Not a massive amount. I mean, Mallorca tried and huffed and puffed, but couldn't quite get the equaliser. They must be beginning to look over their shoulders now because they are the ones that are in 17th place. They're still 6 points clear of the drop. But 12 left in play. So Mallorca will certainly want to get that just one more win to confirm it because they haven't won either since the Copa del Rey final. Las Palmas at home next week looks like a very winnable one from their perspective and one that
I know it'd be a bit of pressure for them to actually get over the line. But yeah, Atleti holding that 6-point cushion over Athletic, they know they just need two more wins pretty much, and that's them done and dusted.
Yeah, again, it might not, they would go to away to Mallorca and they would expect to win, but obviously their away form this season has been pretty dreadful. So it did feel maybe slightly back to basics, a grinding out of a 1-0 victory. So it was good for them to get that clean sheet as well on the road. But yeah, for Mallorca, they probably maybe look at that game and think if we get anything out of it, it's a bonus. They're hovering just above the drop zone, but I would be surprised if they don't get enough points, or even if they don't add too many to their tally, whether Cadiz will get enough from their final four games to overhaul them. So it'd be interesting. Maybe from a neutral perspective, it'd be nice if there was a little bit of a little bit closer come the end of the season. But I don't imagine many Mallorca fans will be hoping that. I think they'll happily take a win or two in the next couple of weeks and get away from that and enjoy a couple of easy, relaxing games at the end of the season.
Quite so. Atleti's first clean sheet since February in any competition. So you're right. Much needed back to basics approach. And they got that job done. Speaking of Las Palmas just then, though, Real Sociedad played them on Saturday and calmly beat them 2-0. An own goal in the first half, and then Becker just before the break. They had a third ruled out for offside too. So Real Sociedad looking strong for that sixth spot. They know Betis are on their tails. We'll get to them in just a sec. But again, Las Palmas, the worst form team in the league now. That is 7 defeats in a row now. One goal scored in that time. So I think everyone wants to play Las Palmas right about now because they are officially on the beach. Let's talk Betis as well as Real Sociedad though, because they also had a 2-0 win. Ayoce Perez and Pablo Fornals giving them the victory. Again, some red cards in this one. John Moncayola for Osasuna sent off in the first half, and then Yagoba Arrasate in what is one of his final home games. They've only got two more left with him at the helm. This one didn't go to plan.
No, it was another game where an early red card kind of changed the complexion and obviously left Osasuna with a mountain to climb. For Betis, if you look at Osasuna and you think they're on a poor run of form, Betis were kind of on a similar poor run of form not too long ago, but they've managed to turn it around in recent weeks. And obviously that's kind of got their European bid back on track. And for them, it was a routine win. And I think coming into this weekend, I looked at those European teams and thought all four, if say contenders ahead of the weekend, had games they should win. But obviously, with that expectation, there is a risk that you can slip up. And I think the crucial thing for Betis and Real Sociedad is they've got those relatively comfortable victories, and they've kind of given themselves a gap now over Valencia and Villarreal. And now you'd assume, and you'd be surprised if the other two get back into it, and it looks like it's going to be a shootout into who finishes sixth and seventh, which obviously does make a difference because you've got the obviously two different competitions in the Europa League and the Europa Conference League. And I think particularly for Real Sociedad, if they were to get pipped by Betis, that would be a bit disappointing when you look at how they finished last season and got Champions League qualification. If they were basically to drop into the Europa Conference League, then I think that would be a bit of a blow. But yeah, I think that, if anything, if you look at the league as a whole, that's one of the main races going into the final few weeks is that race for sixth place. And it'd be interesting to see who comes out of top out of Real Sociedad and Betis, because I think Betis have got a relatively nice couple of games, if I'm not mistaken. I think they might have Almeria and Las Palmas next, where I know Real Sociedad have got Barcelona, I think, coming up. So yeah, it's going to be quite interesting to see who kind of wins that battle for sixth.
Yeah, one of the few races where there is still active tension on there. You're right, they do play Almeria and Las Palmas in the next two, but then they host Real Sociedad in the penultimate match of the season and then go to the Bernabeu on the 26th of May. Who knows what kind of team Madrid could play if they're in the Champions League final, of course. So that could also be a winnable one for Betis, but we just don't know. We'll have to see how it pans out in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, you mentioned Valencia there. They had a home game against Alaves, a very tight one. Unfortunate injury to Jaume Domenech. As soon as he gets back into the side, he only lasts 33 minutes and he has to come off. So a disappointment for him. Alaves came away with all 3 points thanks to Javi Lopez his goal in the second half. And that's Alavés' third win on the spin without conceding a goal. They are seriously an impressive side, and this result just adds to that. And they're winning a lot of fans this season.
Yeah, it's remarkable. When you think, you look at the other promoted sides and you think Alavés came up through the playoffs to hit and go past that 40-point mark with four games to go, it is remarkable. They did well at Mestalla. They kind of ground it out. It was a nice worked corner routine, if we say. Valencia would be disappointed in regards to defending, but they played it to the back post, and Javi Lopez kind of crept around and guided it in. And yeah, it was. They've been pretty. If you look at their team and you look how they came up through the playoffs, you think, okay, that's a team that's probably going to be struggling and scratching and clawing to remain in the division. So to be a million miles away from that. And manage and maybe even challenging for top half of the table. It's incredible what they're doing. And yeah, it's for Valencia, disappointing. They've kind of hit a bad run of form at the wrong stage of the season in regards to their European bid. Obviously, slightly unfortunate in the Monday's game against Barca, because obviously they had Mamardashvili sent off, and that kind of had the knock-on effect to Dominic playing and then getting injured. So, it's for them, they're going to struggle. But I'm not sure. I think still Barra has done a brilliant job, and I'm not sure in some ways whether missing out on European football would be that bad of a thing with quite a small squad. So, it was a cagey game. I thought Alavés did well to just edge it.
Yeah, I think Valencia have given themselves a solid platform for the future. There was no relegation worries this season, and that was pretty much the most important thing. And getting to that tally of 40 as early as they could, and anything more would have been a bonus. And I agree. I think missing out on that wouldn't be the worst thing, because the young players can have that little bit more time on the training ground and to gel together and maybe go again stronger next season. Okay, two more games left to recap, both involving sides at the wrong end of the table. But Almeria, their form their season's been about as bright as an eclipse, but they did get a second win of the season. Both have been on the road, this one at Vallecas. Choco Lozano in the first half scoring for them, and Rayo's form is a concern. Again, they're a bit like Mallorca, they're just above the drop, but they probably won't get dragged down. They're like Delta, they've got an 8-point cushion over Cadiz, so they should be all right, but they're just about crawling over the line. They did all right in this game. It was Luis Maximiano in the Almeria goal that was the standout player. So on a different day, Rayo could have got something from the game, but on this occasion, Almeria were the ones that got the win.
Yeah, obviously they'll be disappointed because you're losing to a team that have bottom and obviously been the worst team in the division, but they've been disappointed how they conceded the goal, because it came from their throw-in, it was loose, and yeah, it left them kind of having to try and fight back into the game, and obviously they just couldn't. But like you said, you look at the league table, and it might not even necessarily be a case of having to hit a certain point, because you think that Cadiz, as I keep alluding to, you think how they're going to win three or four get their final four games. I'm not sure. So yeah, in regard for Rayo, maybe I think we're probably seeing this season is the Iraola factor. He's always going to be such a tough man to replace, and he's had them kind of punching above their weight. So in some ways, in regards to their playing squad, you could argue that kind of 16th in the table is a satisfactory result. And as long as they stay in the division, they can say, okay, that's been an okay season, and see if they can kind of build again next year. But I think after losing Iraola, maybe there would be some concern that it could have all fallen apart and they would have been relegated. So as long as they keep away, that would be the main thing. And for Almeria, it's a nice win, isn't it? It's nice to at least add a few more points to their total. You don't want to, at least you can go out swinging and at least try and rain on a few other teams' parade, because it has been a tough season. So at least it gives them a small moment of joy.
Yeah, I mean, they're only 4 points off Granada now, so they might say to themselves, okay, guys, let's try and not finish bottom. And that can be their way of you know, kick-starting something for Segunda next season. Speaking of Granada, we thought that José Román Sandoval coming in, there was high hopes that he was, you know, bringing them back to life. But they took on Sevilla away from home tonight on Sunday night. And yeah, 3-0 defeat, never really in the game. Sevilla, comfortable winners. Marcos Acuña in the first half, Youssef En-Nesyri in the second, rounded off by Dodi Lukubakio. With 10 minutes left to play, and yeah, Sevilla getting another win, keeping them comfortably mid-table. Granada, they're not down just yet, but they're almost snookers required, because they are 11 points off the drop with only, of course, 12 to play for. So any point that Mallorca get, or any points that Granada drop in, you know, next week will confirm it. They host Real Madrid. So yeah, good luck Granada, basically. It'd be a shame to see three Andalus sides relegated, but that is increasingly looking like it's going to happen.
Yeah, and it's probably been looking like that for a long time. I got a little bit excited before the Sevilla game, because I thought they'd taken 7 points from three, and Sandoval's about to roll back the ears and pull off another great escape. But yeah, it was, if any lingering hopes that was going to happen, that was quashed by Sevilla. And to be fair, in some ways, Sevilla getting a comfortable, which is maybe not too surprising, because they have been in good form in recent times, and their relegation fears are long gone. They've moved well away and could even maybe be targeting a top half finish if they do well in the next few games. But yeah, it's looked for a long time that those three teams are going to drop. You always kind of want a tight battle just for an excitement value. But yeah, those teams have been kind of cut adrift. Especially Granada and Almeria, they've always been playing catch up, and it's looked like a long season for a long time. So it's almost been a case of waiting to be put out of their misery, and yeah, they'll probably start thinking now, already start drawing up plans for a promotion bid and try and come back next year. But yeah, obviously Cadiz are a slightly better placed, but like I keep saying, they're going to have to pull something out of the bag in the last four games if they're going to get anywhere close or even make it exciting and take it to the last game or two. So yeah, unfortunately for those three sides, I don't see a lot changing between now and the end of the season.
No. So listeners, that's the weekend. It's been a momentous one. Plenty has been officially confirmed. Plenty else all but done. So yeah, four more match days. It's going to be interesting to try and find things to talk about. We'll have to do some in-depth on different sides and, you know, look at what's gone wrong at Barca, or how Real Madrid have been so good, and Girona, Atleti, etc. We can go in depth on a few more clubs in the next few weeks. But please join us midweek, when we will be recapping the Champions League semi-final second leg between Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. Of course, that pulsating draw from last week heads to the Bernabeu now, all to play for. Madrid on a high after winning the league, Bayern having just been beaten by Stuttgart. Lots to play for, of course. We're fingers crossed that Madrid can make it into that final, potentially against Luis Enrique's PSG. You never know. They'll have to do a remontada against Dortmund, but Lucho's quite good for one of those. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Please do subscribe and upgrade at llonline.substack.com so you don't miss any of our content until the end of the season. Plenty still to talk about and write about. So please join us. Ben, thank you so much for your time and patience, as always.
Thank you. And yeah, like you said, let's hope Real Madrid get through and we can have a La Liga team in the Champions League final. It'll be nice to see. And I know you said about PSG, maybe a Dortmund reunion for Jude Bellingham.
Oh, at Wembley, can you imagine? that's the narrative right there. Okay then. Well, listeners, thank you very much. And until midweek, we will say hasta luego.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.